Hey there, and welcome to episode 15 of the Memoir Club podcast. Today, we'll explore how health scare stories shape our memories and our writing. It's true that as we get older, most of us will have some sort of health scare. One moment you're moving along with the rhythm of your days, you know, buying groceries, making phone calls, mowing the lawn, and the next you're staring at a hospital ceiling. And when that happens, time slows down. Everything feels sharper, and suddenly you're thinking about what really matters. A health scare carves a before and after in our lives. Going forward, we'll talk about what we did before the health scare and how it affected our lives after. But even when the scare turns into recovery, the memory of it still leaves a mark. It becomes a story not only worth telling, but it becomes a story that you tell often. So this week, we'll talk about how to tell your health scare story. We'll discuss how to approach writing such stories and how to tell them honestly without overwhelming the reader or sounding like you're whining. We'll consider how writing about difficult moments can bring clarity and emotional healing. And I'll share some practical ways to shape these memories into scenes. Then in the listener mailbox, we'll answer a question that comes up often. How long should a memoir story be? Allow me to start with a personal story. My family has always lived under the cloud of heart trouble. The men in my line rarely lived past 50. My grandfather died at 47, uncles, cousins, all gone too soon. Even my mother had her first heart attack at 47. So by the time I was a teenager in the 1960s, I assumed the same fate awaited me. My plan at that young age was to burn bright and burn fast. My motto became, live for today, for tomorrow we die. So I lived accordingly. My nights were filled with drumming in nightclubs and parties that lasted until dawn. My days started late and lazy. That rhythm carried me until it finally caught up with me. At 21, pneumonia knocked me flat, and for the first time, I realized that maybe, just maybe, my lifestyle and my health were connected. So I quit smoking and drinking and partying all night. I practiced yoga and became a vegetarian. I still believed 50 might be my limit, but I wanted to meet it with a clear head. And for a while, I felt like I slipped the family curse. I swam and hiked and rode my bike, raised kids, built businesses. But at 47, the same age as my grandfather and mother, I had my first heart attack. It was mild, just one stent, but it branded me with a pre-existing condition. From that point on, I became uninsurable. Still, when I turned 51, I celebrated, happy that I had made it past the family mark. And for the first time, I thought, well, maybe I'll live a long and healthy life. But at 56, my DNA had other plans. The big one landed me in two hospitals, a medevac helicopter, and finally, a quintuple bypass. Recovery took nearly a year. Paying the medical bills took a lot longer. Well, that scare pushed me into a major lifestyle change, and I moved out of the city. I traded the traffic and the crowds and the stress for a slower pace of life in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. I wrote books, made friends, and watched the seasons turn. My health scare forced me into the life that I needed to live. 8 quiet years passed. I'd soon be eligible for health insurance for the first time in almost 20 years. But 2 months before my 65th birthday, my heart betrayed me again. Another helicopter ride, more surgeries, and another stack of six-figure hospital bills. By then, my chest carried 5 stents and a quintuple bypass, 10 patches to the plumbing that kept me alive. But my body kept going, not through any effort on my part, but through family support and medical technologies. More outpatient surgeries followed, 2 rounds of cancer, a pacemaker defibrillator. With every incident, I became more determined to live my youthful motto, live for today, for tomorrow we die. But my approach softened with every incident. And you know what? To end up where I am now, I'd do it all again. I have few regrets. My doctor teases me that if I have any more body parts modified, I'll look like Darth Vader. Oh, maybe so. But I wonder, should I start shopping for a lightsaber? Health scare stories are some of the hardest to write because they can feel raw and deeply personal. But they also connect with readers because everyone has faced illness, whether in themselves or someone they love. Here are a few reflections and tips for writing your own health scare story. First, be sure to balance fear with resilience. Writing about illness doesn't have to dwell in despair and fear. Bringing the causes and effects to life with a bit of emotion and determination shows resilience. What you learned, how you coped, who showed up for you. Even small acts of kindness can become central details. Also, decide your boundaries. You don't have to share every detail. Ask yourself, well, what's the story here? Is it about the diagnosis or the recovery or the perspective gained afterward? Share enough to capture the truth, but respect your own comfort level. Finally, frame it as a turning point. Health scares often change the way we see life. They remind us of what's fragile and what's essential. Framing the story as a turning point helps readers see not just what happened, but how it shaped who you are. And the key takeaway is this. When you write a health story, you're not just recounting symptoms and treatments. You're capturing the shift, the way life pressed pause and then resumed in a way that was never quite the same. The key is to find the central moment that embodies the whole experience. Write it with honesty and sensory detail and reflection. That moment can carry your truth in a way that readers will feel, even if their own stories look different. Well, the jaunty accordion music tells me it's time for Listener's Mailbox. So let's dig in, see what we've got. This week's question comes from George in Florida, who writes, how long should a memoir story be? A page, a chapter, or something in between? George, the short answer, and I'm not trying to be a wise guy here, is this. Your story should be as long as it needs to be to carry the moment. One of my favorite writers, novelist Elmore Leonard, put it plainly. He says, try to leave out the part that readers tend to skip over. Now, that's a clean way of saying, write all the details you remember, but then cut it until only what matters remains. Get rid of the fluff. If you're writing for yourself, a one-page sketch can capture the essence of a memory. But if you're writing for a published memoir, a single story could expand into a chapter, especially if it ties into a bigger theme of your life. So think of it like this. A journal entry can be a few paragraphs. A standalone story could be 3 to 5 pages, but a memoir chapter often runs 10 pages or more, weaving one story into others of a similar theme. The length depends on your purpose. The most important thing isn't how long it is, but whether it has shape, a beginning, a middle, and an end. Once a reader feels the shift, you're done. You've said enough. Thanks for your question, George. That was a good one. So here's your writing prompt for this week. Write a health scare story. It can be your story or that of a loved one. Choose one moment, the diagnosis, the recovery, even the quiet in between. But remember, if you're writing about someone else's health scare, only write it from your point of view, because you don't know what they were feeling, you don't know what they were thinking, even if they gave you some hints. Remember, you're writing your story from your perspective, not their story from their perspective. So if you're stuck, try this. Start with the setting. Where were you when you found out? Was it a doctor's office or a hospital bed or around the kitchen table? Use your 5 senses. What did you hear or smell or touch in that moment? End with the shift. What changed because of this scare or recovery? And remember, you don't have to capture everything. One vivid moment can say more than pages of detail. Well, that's it for today's episode. Thanks for joining me. If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to check out the Story Sparks newsletter. Each issue includes a link to the latest episode, the weekly writing prompt, and a printable scene builder worksheet to help you turn memories into stories. It's free, and it's a great way to keep your writing going between episodes. You can subscribe anytime at memoirclub.net. I'm Wayne Jordan, and I appreciate you spending a little time with me today. Until next time, keep telling the stories that only you can tell.